I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Josh Kornbluth. His one-man show, Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews, is at the Lensic this Thursday, March 24th, and Saturday, March 26th at 7 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this show centers around an exhibition that you saw called Warhol's Jews, 10 Portraits Reconsidered. How did you come to be aware of this exhibition and then to start really interacting with these portraits?
It was, in retrospect, kind of magical, but the basic way was that I went to this new museum called the Contemporary Jewish Museum that had just opened in San Francisco at the time, a couple of years ago. And we live in Berkeley, across the bay. And when I was at the museum, I was approached by this guy named Dan Schifrin, who I had run into around the Bay Area. He hosts various events, and he's a writer. And he explained to me that they had hired him to run the public events at this museum, and they had an exhibit coming in. It was actually coming in very soon thereafter, so they were a little bit desperate, I think, but that it was going to be these 10 portraits that Andy Warhol had done of famous 20th century Jews. And they had commission money and from grants. And was I interested in giving a talk about it? And I explained to him, well, I'd love the money for one thing, definitely. But, you know, in honesty, I had to tell him that, you know, I knew nothing about Andy Warhol, very little about visual art, although I've always wanted to know a lot more. And I knew practically nothing about the Jews, even though I'm Jewish. So it was, and then he said, well, fine. You know, so I think he was desperate. And so it was this commission that made me come in and look at these portraits. And then when I saw them, I didn't like them.
Well, that's one of the fascinating things about it. You didn't like them. Why didn't you like them?
Well, I felt like they didn't like me and I didn't like them. That was my first reaction. It was my first take on these portraits, you know, was that Andy Warhol, about whom at that point I knew nothing, except, you know, he'd done Campbell Soup Cans and 15 Minutes of Fame and the Velvet, he had helped produce the Velvet Underground, one of my favorite bands. But aside from that, I knew nothing. And my sense was that, well, I looked at it and I just thought, well, obviously the artist, Warhol, did not care at all about these people. And my idea of a portrait is, you know, it reveals something of the soul. It moves me. And that's my idea of art in general, that it, at least, you know, it moved me in some way or it transformed me. And I felt that it was like looking at these flat things that had just been sort of automatically, like, put into, you know, a Warhol machine and added, you know, those colors and so I was initially quite put off by them. And in fact, that was in a way, in retrospect, it was sort of the first indication that there was something going on in the show, because one of the things that happened to me, even in my initial repulsion as I first responded to the pictures, was to feel, it made me feel very Jewish. I felt very, which is unusual, I felt very sort of protective of, you know, these people about whom also I knew very little for the most part, who were pictured in the portrait. So it was it set in motion this very complicated and very, at first, very negative response in me. But I had to keep looking at them and I had to keep trying to find a way to connect, because I was being paid to talk about them and to talk about how I connected with them.
Why did you, being a Jew, not feel Jewish or feel connected to Jewish themes?
Well, I felt, I mean, it's really sort of as a typical Jewish answer. Well, I guess a super typical Jewish answer would be to answer with a question, but instead I'll answer with sort of a two-part answer. The first part is that I have always felt Jewish in a way. I mean, I quote from Jonathan Miller, the great British humorist, who says of himself, he says, "I'm not a Jew precisely, I'm Jew-ish." And I guess I've always felt Jew-ish. I've always been culturally Jewish. My parents, you know, my parents spoke Yiddish and, you know, were very clearly Jewish. But in another way, I wasn't Jewish at all. And by that, I mean that I wasn't raised at all in any religious sense Jewish whatsoever. In fact, my parents were communists and they had rejected religion as the opiate of the masses. of course, they didn't realize that they actually had a new religion called communism. But so they were atheists, and so I never went to temple. I had no identification with the State of Israel, with Zionism, or anything like that. So a lot of the things that I think about as being typically what a Jew does, what a Jew is, I was never bar mitzvahed, you know, that I did not happen to me, you know, and had not happened to me. And now at the age of 50, which is where I was turning around at the time when I saw these portraits, I found, as I began to, almost despite myself, connect with these portraits and with Warhol, that I was also connecting with Judaism and with Jewishness in a way that just totally surprised me and continues to this moment to be a very a transformative experience for me.
Well, I found it just amazing and just fascinating that you started looking at the Warhol work, which, you know, to my eyes as well, I have to say, I think of consumerism and glitz and superficiality. You started with the lens, or you found the lens of Martin Buber and his ideas of I and thou as a way of beholding these portraits, and that was transformative.
The Buber really is at the center of this. Buber is one of the 10 subjects in these portraits, and famous, or some of them not so famous anymore, like Buber. I would say probably Buber is the least known of all of them right now to most people. And I knew nothing. When Warhol in his diary, when he was working on these portraits, he wrote, "Who is Martin Buber?" And so I was with Warhol there. I didn't know anything about Buber, except that I remembered that my father, and I still have it, in fact, my father, who, as I said, was a Jewish communist, his best friend was a Presbyterian minister who was also a communist, and as it happens, this dear friend of my father's, who became a dear friend of mine, almost like a second father to me, Chuck Yerkes was his name, had labored for years and years on his doctoral dissertation in divinity on Martin Buber and Buber's philosophy of I and thou. And in the manner peculiar to my father's friends, Chuck, even though I was a child, treated me as if I were an adult, in that he would read me all of these versions, all the rewrites of his doctoral dissertation on Martin Buber. He's reading it to an 8-year-old. I mean, incredibly abstruse stuff, except some of it stuck. And what particularly stuck with me and really was unlocked for me in this experience of reacting to these portraits and, you know, in a profound way, was an encounter with Martin Buber myself and with his philosophy of I and thou, which I find to be incredibly powerful.
And the just so that people understand, the I-thou relationship is different from the I-it relationship, in which people or whatever that you're beholding is objectified, as opposed to maybe a kind of reverence or honesty or vulnerability that takes place in the I-thou interaction.
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, to my end, I'm still learning it, but what you say, you actually said it very beautifully. And I mean, people see each other, Buber felt, as it. They see as the other. And that he felt that the only way to him, the only way to what he considered God, the only way to what he called the absolute, was through human beings encountering one another, not as an it, not as an object, but as a fellow subject, encountering them in that way that you said, in a way that is, you know, vulnerable, intimate, honest. And he didn't expect that it would, you know, he said it didn't happen very often, and when it happened, it would last sometimes just very briefly. So these were moments, these I-thou moments, were to be treasured. And it's just, I found it, and I'm starting, really beginning my Buber studies, I feel like. But in this piece, what happens is that in Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews, is that I find myself entering into an I-thou relationship with Andy Warhol himself, with the members, you know, with some of the portrait subjects, and also very, very surprisingly to me as the show developed, with a side of my family that had totally cut off my side of the family with my father's parents, who had disowned him and then pretty much disowned me and everyone connected to me. And I found myself really unexpectedly through the process of developing the show, which was all a reaction to those 10 portraits, that I found myself really entering into a kind of a healing, an intergenerational healing that I never expected to happen in my lifetime.
We're talking to Josh Kornbluth about his one-man show that's coming up at the Lensic, Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews. And I haven't seen it yet in person. I saw the DVD of one of the performances that you've done. And it goes far into so many themes beyond art. It deals with, as you say, family, God, Jewishness. And it really made me think about what a trip to the museum can inspire and how so much of the value of a work of visual art is what it evokes in others and what they then do with it. And what you've done with it is it's a whole new work of art.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And that'll be very gratifying to Dan Shiffrin, who I mentioned, who was the friend who hired me for this gig, who gave me the commission, because his idea, and he's still at the Contemporary Jewish Museum, by the way, and is still, you know, his idea was, in even inviting me, was to try to bring a fresh angle onto the museum experience that, you know, for the original talks that I gave, which were to the, you know, people at the museum, that, you know, normally you have a docent maybe shows you around or a curator, but the idea of having essentially one of your fellow museum goers who is no more knowledgeable than you are and probably less, in this case me, to go and then to have a deep experience and then to share it was just, you know, as you indicated, I mean, his hope was that it wouldn't just be about that particular exhibit and my particular response to it, but it would help to, you know, it would help people to think about what they get out of art, what they get out of museum going, and help, you know, sort of enhance that experience. So, and that's extremely gratifying to me that you feel that.
Yeah, very much so, because I wonder sometimes when I go see things myself, the experience as you're having it in a museum or in any form of cultural interaction can be pleasant and even profound at moments, but what do you take home from it? What do you do with it? How does it change you? And I think it's just a beautiful example of how there is a kind of a chain reaction, because then the next person will go to your performance and they'll have a response to that mm-hmm. that comes out in their own work or their own life.
That's just wonderful. That would be my greatest hope, you know, is to be a part in, to be a little link in that chain of interaction, of response, and of, you know, self-discovery for each of us. And self-discovery and also our discovery of how we're connected with the rest of the universe. You know, it's a big goal, but we're all on that quest. And I had the same questions that when I said earlier in our conversation that I was, you know, I didn't know very much about visual art. I mean, it was really true. And one of the things was that I sort of felt like I listen to music a lot, I go to movies a lot, I read a lot, but that I'd never sort of, as you were sort of talking about, I never sort of got what I'm supposed to do at a museum, especially at an art museum. I just didn't know even how to gauge it or what was happening. And, you know, even as you were describing it, I was actually also thinking that I had and have had a similar question about nature, about the beauty of nature, when, you know, my wife and son both love nature, and I'm, you know, as I'm from New York City, and to quote Woody Allen, I'm at two with nature, you know, and and we have gone to these beautiful places. I've gone to these people who are the dearest people to me in the world, and I've known that it is a beautiful experience that's happening, and I look out and I see the sunset and I see the stars, and yet it's through my impulses to, would someone please put this in a story so that I can then sit in an air-conditioned delicatessen and eat and read about this and then have the actual emotional experience that I should be having right now. And so
I've spoken like a true New Yorker.
Yes, I know. And so it won't, by the way, parenthetically, it won't surprise you, I don't know how to drive either. But that's, and so in a way, this is also part of my experience of trying to connect with and feel, because I feel it, but to try to explicate, dramatize, and feel, I guess, to really feel myself what I am getting from visual art and what it can release in me and, you know, and perhaps in others. And so it's really, that's been, I mean, that was one of the scariest things to me about the commission, was that I would be talking about works of visual art and I didn't know, you know, I'm getting this wrong, but something about like music criticism, like writing about music is like dancing about sculpture or something like that.
Right,
like
right.
Like, does it not connect, you know? And although now they think about dancing like sculpture, it would probably be really beautiful if it wasn't by me. But you know what, that was the thing. Like, how would what I do, which is tell stories essentially from my life based on my experience and reporting on that, how could I bring that to bear on works of visual art? And so one of the things that's gratifying to me about doing this show is that I have connected.
Josh Kornbluth's one-man show is called Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews, and it's at the Lensic on Thursday, March 24th, and Saturday, March 26th at 7 o'clock. Absolutely wonderful show. I hope that everybody goes to see it. Josh Kornbluth, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.